Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
So turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Today I'm going to bring closure to this series that I've been in that I've called P423, which comes from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, which also means today's the very last day I'm going to share my incredible app invention with you. Now, I got to tell you, one person really has seen the genius behind it, and so I'm going to try my app on their heart today because they deserve it. So, Tim, you've really appreciated my app. You really have. And so we're going to try my app on your heart today. All right, here we go. All right, so you got to put this mic right here to your heart.
Right.
Okay. Are you a little bit nervous?
A little.
You should be.
A little.
All right.
A little
so,
bit.
Just for you who don't know, I invented an app which, when I place on Tim's heart, will tell us what's in his heart. All right, here we go.
It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. Here we go.
Ooh, that's a marathon heart.
You're a little nervous, I can tell your heart's racing. Can you hear that? But he's got a good heartbeat. I'm anxious to see what's in Tim's heart. I know you are too. What's in Tim's?
There's nothing there.
No, there's something there. Only Tim could get me to play Lynyrd Skynyrd in church. Only Tim could do that. Proverbs 4:23. In case you haven't noticed in this series, this is an important verse. Above all else. In other words, this is important, people. Pay attention. Because above anything else, guard your heart. Protect your heart. Do everything in your power to sanction off the boundaries to your heart so that nothing enters it that is not of God. Protect your heart. Why? For it is the wellspring of life. You know what I have found annoying, and I think you have too, is when you're watching TV or sometimes on the radio, and you're watching a good movie or a good football game, and all of a sudden you hear that, this is a test of the emergency broadcast system. Isn't that annoying? Oh, and they do it often, but I'll tell you what, never more did I appreciate it a month ago when those wildfires were raging, and probably within that two and a half week period, I've never heard the emergency broadcast system more than I have in that time frame, but every time it went on, boy, we stopped and we paid attention, didn't we? We listened because we knew we needed to figure out what's going on. Some people had to evacuate. Many of us had to prepare to evacuate. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. Pay attention. Because something's happening out there and you need to be aware of it and you need to be ready for your own good. P423, Proverbs 423 is that emergency broadcast system for our lives. It is God's way of saying, pay attention, be careful. There's a wildfire coming. You need to be careful and guard your heart. There's a storm coming. There's an emergency coming. Get out of the way. Protect yourself. Flee. Do anything you need to do to protect your heart, because it is the wellspring of life. Now, God in His infinite wisdom has given us certain elements to help us protect our heart. Number one, He's given us His Word. He's given us the Bible. There's a reason why preachers like me and preachers all around the world hit home, and if you want to say nag, that's fine. There's a reason why we nag and we implore you to stay in God's Word. It's because this is a built-in emergency broadcast system that if you're in the Bible every day, you will see things that you need to be on guard against in your life. God in His wisdom has given us His Word that has been preserved for us faithfully throughout the generations. And so maybe you're living your life. Maybe you've got a decision to make and you're not quite sure what to do, or you're being influenced in ways that you probably shouldn't be influenced. God's Word will help you protect your heart. I am always worried when people are not faithfully spending time in God's Word, because they've just removed one of God's preemptive emergency broadcast systems in their life. You've got to be in God's Word every day. It will help protect your heart. He's also given us the Holy Spirit. God Himself dwells within us and will comfort us, but also convict us if we are sensitive and in tune with God who resides within us. Now, if we're not sensitive to God's Spirit, if our hearts are hard, then we're not going to be able to be attuned and listen to God within us telling us, uh-oh, you better be careful, or you better be watching what you're doing here, or you better not be spending time with this person here. But God has given us Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit to dwell within us to be that warning system. And sometimes we cross the line and the Holy Spirit convicts us and we need to make things right with God. God has also given us each other. He's given us godly people that can help protect our hearts. That's why I love coming to church and spending time with you, because your influence in my life, if you're a godly person, is good for me. I need the influence of godly people. You start hanging out with the wrong crowd, you start listening to the wrong people, you start watching the wrong things, it will negatively affect your heart. The Bible has a lot to say about that. And so God has given us many avenues, built-in divine emergency broadcast systems that we must put into place to guard and protect our hearts. And you know what? It's an ongoing thing. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I don't need to protect my heart. If anything, I need to protect my heart more. Maybe you've been a Christian for, well, Joanne, you turned, what, 85 last week? She's walked with the Lord longer than most of us have been alive. Since she was 13 years of age, and it was the best decision you've ever made, right?
Absolutely.
But even at 85, Joanne, would you tell us that you can't let your guard down when it comes to protecting your heart?
Never.
Absolutely. And so all of us, whether you're a new believer or you're young in the faith, or you've been walking with the Lord for many, many years, all of us must protect our heart. I want to share something interesting with you from a cardiologist, a medical doctor. This is from Dr. Edward Miller. Now, he was the former dean of the medical school and CEO of the hospital at Johns Hopkins University. This guy knows his stuff when it comes to cardiology. And he says this about people facing serious heart issues. He says, if you look at people after coronary artery bypass, 2 years later after their surgery, 90% of them have not changed their lifestyle. That's astonishing. That even after major physical heart surgery, 90% of the people he saw still did not protect their heart. They didn't change their lifestyle. They didn't eat healthier. They didn't exercise. That is mind-blowing. And I wonder if a lot of Christians are like that as well, too. That even after accepting the Lord Jesus into their heart, they're still not as diligent as they should be in guarding and protecting their heart. Message today is entitled, The Heart of the Matter. When you say the heart of the matter, that phrase means, I'm going to get down to brass tacks. This is what's very important. This is the synopsis of what I'm trying to get at. The heart of the matter. What I've been trying to do in this series, and what I'm going to try to do today, is say to you that the heart of the matter is the heart. We must guard and protect our heart. In Acts chapter 8, we have an interesting story here. With Halloween just a few weeks away, some of you are really into scary stuff, and so you might like this passage here in Acts chapter 8, because we're going to read of a scary guy. Acts chapter 8, Simon the Sorcerer. Ooh. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 9. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. So here's a guy named Simon, and he's dabbling in demonic, what we would call today witchcraft kinds of stuff that he had no business dabbling in. But there's kind of a rush to doing that because it gives you a pseudo sense of power and maybe supernatural ability. And we read here that it amazed all the people in Samaria. I mean, who doesn't want to be the focal point of amazement? He boasted that he was someone great. Look at me, I've got this supernatural sorcery power and I'm great. I've got something you don't. And he fed off of the accolades of people. And all the people, verse 10, all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention. So he was also something of a narcissist. I mean, he just wanted the attention. And they exclaimed, this man is the divine power known as the Great Power. They called him the Great Power. I mean, who wouldn't want that title? Joe, you are the Great Power. John, you are the Great Power. Yeah. That's going to fuel anyone's narcissism, right? Verse 11, they followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. Simon the Sorcerer. Except the problem is the Bible warns against this kind of stuff. Keep your finger in Acts 8, but turn to Deuteronomy 18. Because the law of God was very clear on this point. And the reason I'm spending a little bit of time on this is because Halloween is just a few days away. And our culture, which does not guard its heart, opens itself up with wide open arms to the demonic, especially this time of year. And it should break our hearts. Deuteronomy 18, beginning at verse 9. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritualist who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. Don't do these things. Just stay away from them. There is real, dark, demonic power that if you dabble with, yeah, will give you a pseudo-false sense of power and amazement, but can also lead you straight to hell. If someone asks you innocently enough to play with a Ouija board, you just say, thank you, but no thank you. Don't even say thank you. Just say, get away from me. Throw it in the dumpster. Just don't mess with that stuff. So we have Simon the Sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. Look at verse 12. But when the people believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed. Amen. That's a good thing. And was baptized. That's even a greater thing. All right. Yay for Simon. He believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, we're back to Simon. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying of the apostles' hands, he had a flashback to his previous life and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Simon thought he could manipulate God with money. Peter answered, in a nice tone, I'm sure, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God." The phrase I want us to hone in on is when Peter said to Simon, "Your heart is not right before God." The heart of the matter is our hearts need to be right with God. Because if our heart is not right with God, nothing else is right. Simon had a crooked heart. Turn to Proverbs 11:20. "The Lord detests men of perverse hearts," or some translations read, "crooked hearts." The Lord detests, he hates men of perverse hearts, but he delights in those whose ways are blameless. Simon had a crooked heart. His heart was not right with God, and his heart needed to get right with God. And so, as I wrap things up this morning, I want to give you four ways that our hearts need to be right with God. And whereas Simon had a crooked heart, I'm going to give you four descriptions of a heart that is right with God, and they also start with C as well. The first is, we need to have a cheerful heart. When we are filled with God, when our hearts are right with God, when we allow all the good things of God, we have cheerful hearts. We are filled with joy. Did not Jesus say, and did not Jesus talk about the joy that he gives those who follow him? If your heart is right with God, you ought to be the most cheerful person in your neighborhood. Proverbs 17:22. "A cheerful heart is good medicine, and it's contagious." If you have a cheerful heart, that will be contagious to others around you. I know we have an outbreak of COVID. I wish we had an outbreak of cheerful hearts. That my heart is so filled with the love of God that my cheerfulness just rubs off on others. And some of you are like that. Some of you, I may be having a bad day, but I spend 5 minutes with you and your joy rubs off on me and it influences me. And so it's true. A cheerful heart is good medicine. You want to know if your heart is right with God? Have a cheerful heart. That being said, a cheerful heart loves to give. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Turn to 2 Corinthians 9:7. "Each man or person should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Well, that comes from a cheerful heart. We give our worship, we give our time, we give our service, we give our encouragement, we give our tithes and offerings, we give our abilities. We don't go to church to consume. We go to give. And God loves it when we give cheerfully of ourselves. You want to know if your heart's right with God? Do you have a cheerful heart? And do you give of yourself in service to God cheerfully? Number two, we need courageous hearts. Turn to Mark chapter 11. You want to know if your heart's right with God? You will live with a courageous heart. A heart full of faith, on fire for God, ready to do His will. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. I'll begin at verse 22. Have faith in God, Jesus said. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Jesus says, go face that mountain that you're dealing with, and speak with courage and with faith. Mountain, go into that sea, it will be done for you. And I'm wondering, when's the last time with such courage and faith in your heart you spoke those words over a situation? When our hearts are right with God, we will have courageous hearts and nothing will stand in our way as God is with us, empowering us to speak by faith. Amen? There's no room for cowardly hearts. We must live by faith with courageous hearts. And Jesus says, speaking metaphorically here, you can say to that mountain, go into the sea, and it will be done. When we live by faith, we will live with courageous hearts. Third, if our heart's right with God, we will have compassionate hearts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, those are the four primary documents that we know more about Jesus of Nazareth than any other documents. 89 chapters in those four Gospels. And there's only one verse. There's only one place in the four Gospels, 89 chapters, that tells us about the heart of Jesus. We read about the birth of Jesus, and I'm getting excited for Advent already. We read about His teachings, His sayings, His miracles, His passion, His death, His resurrection. But in all the four Gospels, there's only one place where Jesus tells us about His heart. Matthew 11, beginning at verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Why? For I am gentle and humble in heart. Jesus, in the only verse that describes His heart for us, tells us that His heart was humble, meek, compassionate. So if we are going to have hearts that are right with God, we must reflect the heart of Jesus and have compassionate hearts. And that's why later in places like in Ephesians 4:23, Paul tells believers we are to be kind and compassionate with one another. Why? Because we have the heart of Jesus. And finally, if our heart's right with God, our hearts must be clean. We must have clean hearts. And the Bible has a lot to say about having a clean and pure heart. Psalm 51:10, create in me a pure heart, a clean heart, O God. Ezekiel chapter 36, the promise of God is that He will take away our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. He will cleanse our hearts and give us clean hearts. In Acts 15:9, It says that God purified their hearts by faith and gave them clean hearts. Matthew 5:8 in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And in James 4:8, we're told to purify our hearts. A heart that is right with God will have their heart cleansed and purified and made right by the power of the Holy Spirit. What happens when we don't have cleansed hearts? When we don't have cleansed hearts, we are focused on ourselves. Let me give you an example. Some of you know we have just a little hill in our backyard, and about once a year, maybe twice a year, I need to go up on that hill and kind of cut everything down, cut all the shrubbery down, otherwise it'll just keep growing. And there's a little patch in the corner of poison oak. And every year that poison oak gets me. I'm very allergic and reactionary to poison oak. And sure enough, about 2 weeks ago, I went up. You know, I tried to be careful, but that poison oak got me. And so if you saw me this morning itching and scratching, it's because I have rashes all over me. One year it was so bad, I couldn't even come to church to preach. Some of you may remember that. This year is not as bad, but I've got it behind my knees here. That's the worst. I've got some on my neck here, and I'm just scratching. Let me tell you, the last week has been horrible because I've been focused on itching myself. It's hard to be, you know, focused on others when all you're doing is you're focused on yourself, and I've got a little bit right here that burns, you know, and stings. Well, that's what sin does. When our lives, our hearts are hard and filled with sin, we're just focused in on ourselves. We're wanting to itch ourselves, you know? It's hard to be focused on God and others when all you're doing is focused in on yourselves. But when God comes and cleanses you and cleans you and washes all that poison oak away from you, you're not so focused on yourself anymore, so that you can begin to focus on God and on others. So if you want to know if you have a heart that's right with God, you are focused not on yourself. You're focused on God and you're focused on others. That's what a clean heart does.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.